This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Please be sure to subscribe and share with friends and family. To help support this ministry, please visit walkwiththeking.org/donate. Thank you for listening.
All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right? Well, this is your good friend Bob Cook, and I'm back with you once again for some precious moments which we can invest together around the Word of God. We're starting with John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, by myself, or on my own. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a voluntary laying aside of his glory, as well as a voluntary subservience to the will of the Father. I do always those things that please the Father, said he. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, Paul says in Philippians 2:5, who being in the form of God thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God, but humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, the kenosis they call it, and became of no reputation, was made in the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I do always those things that please the Father. There was obedience involved. But one of the things he didn't give up was his right to decide what he was going to do. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. So therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Daniel was called a man greatly beloved, and he exhibited that same willingness to obey God, even at risk to himself. What's involved here? Now, God loves everybody, for God so loved the world. That means everybody in it, doesn't it? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God loves the believer. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so our Lord Jesus loves those whom he seeks and saves by his matchless grace. And we know that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. We read that in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, don't we? So God loves all the world. He loves believers. And we love him because he first loved us. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the love of Christ constraineth us. Chapter 5, I guess it is. It's chapter 10. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but for him who loved them and gave himself for them. The love of Christ makes us do what we do. Right? Well, what about it so far as you and I now are concerned? You want to think about that? What about it so far as you and I are concerned? If, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us, as it makes us do what we do, then ought we not be giving more attention to this matter of explicit obedience to God? One of the things that bothers me, frankly, let me just let my hair down, and don't any of you smarties say which one. I know. God likes my face so much he's clearing off space for another one on top. But let me just talk frankly with us here just for a moment. You know, I find so many people in this old world, as I go around preaching and teaching, who profess faith in Christ, who are included then in the group of believers generally, but who are engaged at some point or other in their lives in deliberately disobeying God. We are a bunch of God's naughty children at that point. Well, God said, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And so some of us have to be spanked before we'll agree to be good, I suppose. But, you know, God looks for obedience. He looks for obedience. My father used to have me read out of the old McGuffey readers. He had a bunch of them, five or six, I guess, that he had salvaged from his own school days. And in those days, you know, you learned to read, and what you read had values in it. Anymore, of course, we don't teach values. We let people just grow up and decide for themselves. It's oftentimes wrong. The old McGuffey reader had in it values and faith and the teaching of integrity. One of the readings I remember, as I think about it just now, was this one about, "I love you, Mother," said little Tom. Then, forgetting his work, his cap went on, and he was off to play the livelong day, so on and so on. And then, "I love you, Mother," said little somebody or other, and then she whined and complained so until her mother was glad when she got out of the house. And then the third one was, "I love you, Mother," said little Fan, taking the broom, she swiftly ran and swept the sidewalk and cleaned the floor and changed the baby and then did some more or whatever. You know, I can't remember how it goes. But the point was, here were two little kids that said, "I love you," and then didn't do anything about it. And there's the third one that said, "I love you," and really did something about it. And the poem ended up, "Now which of the three loved Mother the most?" Well, you know, don't you? Obedience is the key to expressed love. Obedience is the key to expressed love and fellowship. "Whatsoever he saith unto you," Mary told the servants, as recorded in John 2:5, "whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Paul said to the people in Philippi, "Those things that ye have heard and seen and learned and received from me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you want to get rid of your worries, pray about everything." Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "And the peace of God will be with you." But if you want the God of peace himself, his presence, to be with you, then get to be a specialist in obedience. So Paul was saying there in Philippians 4. So in what the Lord Jesus said here in John 10, 17, and 18, you have the key to it. He said, "God loves me, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. And I'm doing it because I'm obeying him. This commandment have I received of my Father." Would you give some thought this very day to some areas of your life where you need to start obeying God? I don't know what they may be. It may be something very small, or it may be some tremendous gaping flaw on which you and God need to start working together. I don't need to know. You know, you don't have to tell your business to everybody. Just you and God can take care of an awful lot of things. Somebody asked Dr. O.J. Smith, the beloved founder of the People's Church in Toronto, my dear friend for many years, now with the Lord. But they asked him about this matter of confessing sin. He said, "If you've sinned against an individual, go confess to the individual. If you've sinned against a family, confess to the family. If you've sinned against the whole church, confess to the whole church. Just be sure that you keep those things distinct and separate." Pretty good idea. A lot of things you don't have to talk about. A lot of things you'll carry with you to your grave so far as sharing them with anybody. But you better get right with God. Hadn't you? See, obedience is the key to expressed love. Obedience is the key to expressed love. Well, now, it says there was a division among the people. Because of these sayings, many of them said, he's full of the devil, he hath the devil, and he's mad, he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, they're harking back there to what happened, as recorded in John chapter 9. The blind man had been healed. It was at Jerusalem. The feast of the dedication was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And they came around him and said, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. This is always the cry of unbelief. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Tell me so I understand it. Listen, your understanding will be enlightened when you receive the person. Jesus went on to say, I told you, and you didn't believe. You believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If anybody tells you that the Lord Jesus never claimed to be God, you refer them to this passage. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, just as much God as God the Father or God the Spirit. And he knew it, and the people knew it, and that's why they decided to kill him. Well, now we go back to verse 24. The people came around and said, Now, how long do you make us doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Always that if, the if of unbelief, and it continued right straight through to the cross. If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, then we'll believe you. See, the unbelieving heart always puts up a barrier and puts an if there so as to be able to defend its own unbelief. The nobleman on whose arm the king of Israel leaned said when the prophet said in prophecy, there's going to be plenty to eat by tomorrow. Remember the story? And this nobleman sneered. He said, Why, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And Elisha said, You'll see it, but you won't taste it. And so it came to pass. Beware of the if of unbelief. Beware of the desire to have everything neatly laid out and proved to you to your satisfaction before you say yes to the Savior. You'll find that your doubts are dissolved when you yield to the person who can do the dissolving. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again, Jesus remarked to Nicodemus. You get right with the person who said it, and you'll find that you don't have too many questions about it. Open your heart to Jesus this very day. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and forgive my sins and make me a child of God. Pray that prayer. He'll answer it. And you'll know what it is to know God. Father God, today may we combine obedience with expressed love and walk closely with thee. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.